One in three women worldwide experiences some form of sexual difficulty, yet only a fraction seek help. Why? Because we've been taught to see our sexual struggles as personal failures, rather than what they truly are, a natural consequence of living in a world that demands our attention be everywhere except where we are. Your body might be in bed with your partner, but your mind is composing tomorrow's email, replaying an awkward conversation, or mentally reorganizing the kitchen. This fragmentation isn't a character flaw. It's the predictable outcome of a culture that glorifies multitasking while our sexual response desperately needs the opposite. Research shows that when we rapidly shift between tasks, we don't just lose efficiency, we lose the capacity to register pleasure itself. The stakes are higher than we realize. When stress hormones remain elevated throughout the day, they don't simply disappear when we want to feel desire. They actively block our ability to respond sexually, creating a physiological barrier no amount of willpower can overcome. For decades, we've searched for a pill to fix women's desire. When Viagra revolutionized men's sexual health in the late 1990s, the race began to find its female equivalent. The result? Flibanserin, approved in 2015 after trials involving over 11,000 women. The outcome was underwhelming. Just one additional satisfying sexual encounter per month compared to placebo, requiring daily use with side effects including dizziness and dangerous blood pressure drops. This modest result reveals something crucial. Desire isn't a hydraulic problem, requiring better plumbing. Traditional sex therapy offered more promise through sensate focus exercises, pioneered by Masters and Johnson, where couples practiced structured touching without sexual goals. Their original studies reported remarkable 98% improvement rates, though never replicated outside their intensive retreat format. The lesson? Sexual desire responds not to chemistry alone, but to attention, safety, and presence. When desire issues stem from relationship disconnection, past trauma, or accumulated weight of unsatisfying encounters, medication addresses symptoms while leaving root causes untouched. Mindfulness begins with radical simplicity. In therapy groups, women receive a single raisin with instructions to observe it as if for the first time. Notice its ridges, color variations, texture, and smell. Place it on your tongue without chewing. This exercise reveals a profound pattern. Women have been eating raisins their entire lives without truly experiencing them, just as they've been having sex without fully inhabiting their bodies. Sarah, a 32-year-old instructor, recognized this immediately. 6 months into her relationship with Sojun, her desire had evaporated despite genuine love. During sex, her mind wandered to grocery lists and work deadlines. Through an 8-week mindfulness program, she discovered what neuroscience confirms. We don't have a desire problem, we have an attention problem. The dual control model shows sexual response involves both excitation, the gas pedal, and inhibition, the brake. Most treatments focus on pressing harder on the gas, but women's low desire stems primarily from stuck brakes, anxiety, distraction, and judgment that block arousal before it begins. The body scan meditation guides participants through 20 to 30 minutes of systematic attention to every body part, including genitals and breasts, which receive equal focus as non-sexual areas. For many women, this represents their first experience truly inhabiting these regions without judgment or agenda. The practice isn't about feeling good or becoming aroused. It's about noticing what's actually present. One participant discovered that my sexual desire was always there, but I needed to pay attention to it, a revelation that challenges our cultural narrative about desire as something that spontaneously appears or doesn't. Dr. Rosemary Basson's circular model normalizes beginning from a sexually neutral state, particularly in long-term relationships. In this framework, attention to arousal generates desire, not the reverse. By week 5, participants combined fantasy, vibrators, or erotica with detailed body awareness, not to achieve orgasm, but to observe sensation without judgment. Research since 2003 consistently shows this approach significantly improves desire, arousal, orgasms, and satisfaction, with benefits persisting 6 months later. Every distraction carries a cost. Texting while driving proves more dangerous than drunk driving because divided attention impairs information processing. The same principle applies to sex. When researchers asked women to solve math problems while listening to erotic stories, their arousal plummeted. Negative thoughts about body image or performance create similar interference, disconnecting mind from body. Laboratory studies show women with low sexual desire exhibit different attention patterns. Noticing a partner's excitement enhances arousal. Excessive self-monitoring kills it. Here's what's remarkable. Attention can be deliberately directed. When women imagine themselves as participants in erotic videos rather than critical observers, their arousal significantly increased. Brain imaging reveals why mindfulness works. It reduces activity in regions associated with self-monitoring while increasing activation in areas governing executive attention. For Barbara, who worried familiar touches had lost excitement, mindfulness revealed that arousal consists of continually changing sensations. Even familiar stimulation remains novel when we're truly present to experience it. Sexual concordance, the alignment between physical and mental arousal, reveals a stark gender difference. Women average just plus 0.26 correlation between genital response and mental arousal, while men show plus 0.66. Gianna exemplified this disconnect. Lab measurements showed strong physical arousal to erotic films, while she felt indifferent. During sex, she mentally composed grocery lists, her mind severed from her responsive body. After 8 weeks of mindfulness training, her concordance dramatically increased. She discovered satisfying sex requires two-way communication between brain and body, not just reflexive reactions. Interoception, our ability to detect internal bodily sensations, proves crucial. Low interoceptive awareness correlates with self-objectification, depression, and disordered eating. Vipassana meditators demonstrate remarkably greater visceral awareness than even professional dancers. Brain imaging shows mindfulness reduces prefrontal cortex and amygdala activity, diminishing the emotional reactivity that clouds our ability to simply feel what's present. Even when distracted, experienced meditators maintain bodily awareness in ways untrained individuals cannot, creating a foundation for pleasure independent of perfect circumstances. The most powerful sexual medicine requires no prescription, only showing up fully to the body you already have. Depression, relationship conflicts, and disappointments create barriers to desire. Yet mindfulness addresses all three by teaching one fundamental skill, welcoming whatever arises without forcing change. When Sharon and James transformed their struggling relationship through mindfulness, they didn't learn new techniques. They learned to be present with each other and with sensation itself. Research confirms what couples experiencing optimal sexuality know. The common thread isn't particular activities or frequency, but being completely present and embodied. Studies show consistency matters more than duration. Even brief daily practices create meaningful change. The paradox is powerful. When we stop trying to fix our desire and instead simply notice what's present, we clear the path for transformation. Your sexuality isn't broken and doesn't need repair. It needs your attention, your curiosity, and your willingness to meet each moment exactly as it is. That simple act of presence, returning again and again to sensation without agenda, is the doorway back to desire.